Welcome to the Shiur in Targum and Parshas Vayigash. The Shiur this evening is sponsored by Kim and Jeffrey Vogel, Hope Vogel, Jason Vogel, and Stanford Vogel, marking the yard site of Marion Vogel, Malka Bas Yosef Noach, the Neshama Shenev and Aliyah, Shisim Oshnach HaSuach, the Torah Mitzvahs and Maisim Tovim, that the family is involved in. So we're going through the Parsha describing the reconciliation, the encounter between Yosef and the brothers. So we find in Perek Memhei Posig Yudalid that after Yosef reveals himself and speaks to the brothers, Vayipol Otsavrei Vinyamin Achiv Vayevk, he fell on the necks, literally, of his brother Binyamin, and he cried, Ubinyamin Bacha Otsavorov, and Binyamin cried on his neck. So here the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel brings a medrash which is familiar to many of us because it's in Rashi. The Isra came, he fell, al prikas savroi de Binyamin achui, he fell, Yosef fell on the back of Binyamin's neck, his brother Binyamin's neck, ubecha, and he cried. Why did he cry? The chama, the osid beis mukta shalom, have a misnei b'chukei de Binyamin, because Yosef saw that the beis hamikdash would ultimately be built in the portion of Binyamin in Eretz Yisrael, so that's a good thing. But unfortunately, va'osid lemachrov tartin zimnin, but it would be destroyed two times. He saw that. So Binyamin b'chal prikas tzavrei de Yosef, Binyamin on his end cried while falling on the back of Yosef's neck. Dechama mashkena deshilo deasi lemehevi b'chokei de Yosef, because he saw prophetically that the Mishkan Shilo would be built in the chelek, in the portion that belonged to Yosef, asi lemechrof, and he saw that too was going to be destroyed. Again, that's a medrash in Breishis Rabbah that Rashi brings. So again, the Yonasan ben Uziel brings it and reminds us that what's going on over here is not just a reconciliation between brothers, as powerful as that is, but these brothers see all of Jewish history unfolding in front of them, and the crying that's going on represents not just crying from joy at the events that are taking place now, but a whole perspective on what's going to be later on. What the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel then adds, however, is something which we don't have in Rashi, and that we find in the next pasuk. The next pasuk goes on to say, "Vayinashek l'chol echav." So then Yosef kissed all of his brothers, "Vayevk aleihem," and he cried upon them as well. "V'achareichen," and after that, "Dibru echav ito." After that, the brothers spoke to him after he had fallen on their respective necks and cried. What was the crying of Yosef all about? So again, the simple pshat is just, he's overwhelmed with emotion. He's been crying a lot over these past couple of psukim. And particularly, Rashi brings that the crying of Yosef at least struck the brothers as stemming from a desire to reconcile. In other words, that he wasn't just speaking, but really deep in his heart, he really felt that he forgave them and that he wanted to put the family unit back together again. Rashi has the following comment. The pasuk says that he cried on the brothers, v'achareichen, and after that, dibru echavito, the brothers spoke to him. What's conveyed by v'achareichen? After that, the brothers spoke to him. Yeah, if you list off events chronologically, so, you know, this event is after the event that was mentioned before. Why do you have to say v'achareichen? So Rashi understands that it's cause and effect. Yosef cried over the brothers, and as an effect, you know, of the fact that he was crying over them, they felt comfortable speaking to him. Rashi writes, "Me'achar shereu bocha v'libo shalom imayim." Once they saw that he was crying, and once they saw that there was this emotion, and you know, it seems like he's really sincerely looking to make up with the brothers. Okay, so then they felt comfortable, you know, speaking with him. You know, they didn't feel that, you know, if you're afraid of somebody, you don't want to say too many words to that person because, you know, your words are measured. You know, everything was going fine until you said the word ketchup. And then, you know, from there it was all over, right? You know, you remind me of the ketchup. Ah, you know, so they were being very guarded up until that point, but then they felt that they could speak openly and freely because they saw how emotional and how truly moved Yosef was. That's Rashi. The Targum Yerushalmi of Uziel writes as follows. He says, V'nashek l'chol achoy b'cho aleyon. He kissed all of his brothers and he cried over them. Why did he cry? Because he saw that the brothers were going to go into Galus, were going to be taken captive among the nations of the world. In other words, according to the Yonasan ben Uziel, the crying of Yosef in this pasuk is really along the same lines of the crying of both Yosef and Binyamin in the previous pasuk. Yeah, they're crying about the events that are unfolding in front of them, but they're also crying because prophetically they see that there's going to be a lot of tsaris for Klal Yisrael in the future. You know, that there's going to be Batei Mikdash that are going to be built and destroyed, there's going to be a Mishkan Shiloh that's going to be built and destroyed, and now, you know, there's going to be a galus where all of the brothers, you know, and their descendants are going to be scattered among the various nations of the world. They see all of Jewish history, you know, unfolding from these events. This, the Oz V'Hodor commentary on the Yonasan ben Uziel quotes that this particular interpretation, meaning that the crying of Yosef over the brothers is in light of the fact that he sees that they're going to go into galus, is based on a Zohar, so perhaps we can understand why, you know, Rashi quotes the first description of the crying of being about the future. Yosef and Binyamin are crying about the Batei Mikdash and the Mishkan, whereas he doesn't say anything like that when Yosef is crying over the brothers. And in fact, the implication of Rashi's commentary is that the crying of Yosef really has nothing to do, you know, with the future. It's all about just the emotions that he's experiencing at the moment. Rashi, again, whatever the cheshbon was, Rashi quoted the Bereishis Rabbah, you know, but Rashi wasn't quoting the Zohar, who gives this explanation for the subsequent pasuk.
So there's the sadness of the exile, the destruction. One thing trumps all of that. Kabbalah Satorah Har Sinai. You know, you're looking at the negative. If you see your brother, you see, something's going to happen, but there's a goodness that's going to come also. Should there not be tears of joy for that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's more than the exile. We're here because of Har Sinai.
Right, right. So just to pick up on that for a moment, both the Bereishis Rabbah and the Zohar see in this crying, as we said, not just a crying about the events of right now, but, Yosef and Binyamin sort of looking into the future and seeing how Jewish history is going to unfold. What moves the Medrash and the Zohar to understand the Psukim in that way? In other words, without the Medrash and the Zohar, it's pretty easy to understand why everybody's crying. I mean, this is pent-up emotions of 22 years that are coming to the fore over here. There's a tremendous amount of, the emotions are running very, very high. I need a medrash to explain why they're crying. They're crying about the Batei Mikdash. No, they're crying because, we're getting reconciled after 22 years. Why do you have to schlep the Batei Mikdash and the Galus and everything like that over here? So it would seem that both the medrash and the Zohar are, following the classic idea expressed by the Ramban in Parshas Lech Lecha, Ma'aseh Ovos Siman Labanim, that whatever happens to the Ovos HaKadoshim is really laying the groundwork for what's going to happen in the future. And Chazal, I think, through these Midrashim are saying the events of Yosef and his brothers and everything that happens really is setting the role, is setting the tone for what's going to happen later on in Jewish history. Unfortunately, much of Jewish history is traced back to these fights, between Yosef and the brothers. We know that the Batei Mikdash are destroyed in large part because of infighting, particularly the second Beis HaMikdash. We know that the Golus in Mitzrayim itself, the prototypical Golus, the first Golus, all comes about because of this fighting between brothers. So the Medrash is saying, you know, as the brothers are reconciling and it's a happy moment, but at the very same time they realize that what lies ahead of them, which is foreshadowed by everything that's happened with the brothers up until this point, is a very long and difficult road of Jewish history that's going to involve a lot of destruction and a lot of galus. And, you know, they're shedding tears over these various events which are going to take place. Okay, so the brothers are told to go back to Eretz Yisrael and to get Yaakov Ovino. And we read a little bit later on, Perek Mem Hei Pasuk Chav Dalet, Vayishalach Es Echav Vayelechu. So Yosef sent his brothers, and they went. Vayomer Aleihem, and he said to them, Al Tirgizu Badorech, don't be misrages on the way there. What's Al Tirgizu Badorech? What is, exactly does that mean? So roges, we know, is the word for anger. Baroges Rachem Tizkor. Right? So don't be angry. Don't be agitated on the way home. So Rashi brings three different pshatim, three interpretations. What's Al Tirgizu Badorech? Number one, Al Tisasku B'dvar Halacha, Shlo Tirgaz Aleichem Aderech. Number one, don't get too involved in Torah learning on your way back to Eretz Yisrael. You don't want the trip back to do something to you that's going to cause anger, so to speak. What do you mean? Right? So don't try to have a chavrusa when you're driving and turn around to the guy in the back seat and point out to him how his reading of Tosfos is clearly incorrect. Right? It's a very bad, very, very, very bad approach if you want to make it to where you're trying to go to. Right? So even though they weren't driving in the conventional sense of the term, don't get too involved in Torah study on your way back. Don't get agitated over Torah study, because, you know, you need to get home. That's your first and foremost. You know, you don't want to get lost or in an accident, Rachmana Litzlan, on the way back. That's pshat number one. Pshat number two, Dover Acher, Al Tafsiu Psia Gasa, V'tikansu B'chema Lo'ir. Don't walk too fast in a way that you're all heated up by the time you come into the city. Take it easy. You know, don't rush too much, because also you're going to, you know, you're going to have a hard time with the traveling, and you're going to be all like worn out from the traveling if you're rushing too much. It's understandable you'd want to rush. This is incredible news. I mean, to be able to share with Yaakov that Yosef is still alive, it's a big deal. Okay, you know, but take it slow. That's pshat number two. And then, so Rashi quotes those pshatim from the Gemara in Tainis, and then he adds the following. Ulufi pshuto shel mikra. The simple interpretation of the pasuk, however, is as follows. Yeshloma alufi shahayu nichlamim. So since Yosef knew that the brothers were embarrassed, they were terribly embarrassed by what had happened. Here they had gone and sold Yosef. You know, it turned out okay, but I mean it so could not have turned out okay. So hayadoeg shema yorivu baderech al devar mechirasa. Yosef was worried that the brothers would quarrel on the way back home concerning the sale of Yosef. Lisvakeach zeim ze. He was afraid that they'd fight with one another. V'lomar, they would say to one another, Al yodcha nimkar. You're the one who's responsible for having sold him. Atos siparto lashon hara alav. You're the one who said lashon hara about Yosef. V'garamto lanu l'sanoso. You're the one who caused us to hate him. It's all your fault. No, it's all your fault. No, it's all your fault. You know, so basically, the message that Yosef wants to give the brothers as they're on the way back to Eretz Yisrael is don't fight, don't quarrel on the way home. I know it would be natural after Yosef's been discovered for everybody to try to pass off the blame onto somebody else. Don't fight, don't fight, don't fight. Be calm, you know, get along with one another. Just make it back in one piece, you know. And says Rashi, that's pshuto shel mikra. That's the simple interpretation, al tirgizu badorech, even though the first two interpretations appear in the Gemara in Masech the Tainis. What's very interesting over here is that Rashi doesn't quote the Targum Unculus, because both the Targum Unculus, as well as for that matter the Targum Yonasa and Uziel, both give an interpretation of Al Tirgazu that sounds a lot like the Pshuto Shomikra, the third interpretation of Rashi. Tagamunculus writes, Va'amar Lahon, he said to them, Lo sitz nitzon ba'archa, don't fight on the way. What do you mean, don't fight? That's this third pshat in Rashi, l'chora, it would seem. You know, Rashi is saying, l'fi pshuto shomikra, according to the simple interpretation, you know, the interpretation is, he told them, don't fight, don't get into fights on the way home about who's responsible. The Yonos ben Uziel is even more explicit, you know, like Rashi. Lo sis nitzon al esak zivinti, don't fight about, you know, the concerning my sale. Delma yirgis ubuchan avrei orcha, because if you get into a fight over my sale, so people, the passersby, the other people that you'll encounter are going to give you a hard time. You know, they will, you know, they'll get upset at you. What are you fighting about? You know, brothers, just be quiet and get in the caravan, and everybody, you know, get along with one another. So I'm not sure why, again, Rashi, we've seen, Rashi quotes the Targum Unculus constantly, very, very often, says, Kitargumo, 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 you know, the way to interpret the pasuk is in accordance with the Targum. Here the Targum seems to support the third pshat that Rashi suggests, but I'm not sure why he doesn't reference the Targum at all in terms of this third pshat.
Wouldn't one think that at that point in time, though, is Rosh Hashem, we see, but everything this turns out well, and pieces of puzzle fitting together now, and although we may have done the wrong thing, but the end piece is certainly in the puzzle.
Yeah, you'd like everyone to say that, right? But because Murphy's Law is, if they can fight, they will fight. That's, you know.
Was
that's
that a question why he didn't mention Kitakuwa in the third shot?
I was asking that, yeah.
Could be that first of all, would it not be that he should give honor and have it as the first cut? Maybe he discovered it on his own.
Yeah.
He saw it after he didn't know he learned from his own. And he
it was possible.
He learned from on his own, and he came.
Right. Right. Hey, it's possible, but
you
I mean, he
quotes someone necessarily if you yourself have that chance.
Right, but he quotes the Targum so frequently, and he quotes
but
the Targum when the Targum...
He discovered it himself.
Yeah, Efshar. You know, he quotes the Targum so frequently and is so, you know, quick to point out that, you know, he thinks the Pshat is like the Targum. It seems strange over here that he doesn't reference the Targum altogether when the Targum does seem to support the position. The pasuk describes that when the brothers finally make it back to Eretz Yisrael, and they encounter Yaakov Avinu, and they tell him everything that had gone on. So it says Vayafag libo ki lo ha'emin lohem. His heart was Vayafag, because he couldn't believe the things that they were saying to him. What's vayofag libo? Right? So here you have a machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban. Rashi writes the word vayofag is related to a word that Chazal very often use where something loses its taste. Right? He says, you know, you have a lashon in Chazal, mefig tamo. In other words, the taste wears off. You know, it's not as tasty. You know, the sharpness wears off after a while. So vayafag libo means that his heart, the credibility left him. You know, in other words, as it were, the words that the brothers were saying to him weren't sharp. They didn't pierce his heart. He didn't really take them to heart. He was uninterested, and he brushed aside, you know, the words that they were saying to them. So that is vayafag libo. His heart, I'm sorry? Initially. I mean, again, then subsequently, he does believe. But initially, they're telling him all these things. Vayafag libo, his heart brushed aside. His heart, the words dissipated from his heart because he simply didn't believe them at all. That's Rashi. The Ramban says very differently. The Ramban says, vayafag libo, his heart stopped. And the Ramban suggests that he was he was so overwhelmed by what they told him that that he literally fainted. V'nei nafal hazaken kames. Right? There was, he passed out, says the Ramban. And what does it mean, kilohem in lohem? What does it mean that he didn't believe what the brothers were telling him? Sounds like he really believed what the brothers told him. He believed it so much that he passed out on the spot. You know, you could say it perhaps caused him damage, but I mean, you know, he certainly believed. So the Ramban writes, lehagid she'omad zman gadol min hayom v'hu shochev domein ba'avur shlohem in lohem. He just lay in bed for a long period of time afterwards, immobile, says the Ramban. Ki lohem in lohem, he just couldn't believe it, meaning he believed it, but he couldn't process it. That's the way the Ramban understands it. Rashi understands, vayofag libo ki lohem in lohem. He didn't believe it. It was such strange and bizarre news. He brushed it off. The Ramban says, no, he really believed it. Just he couldn't process it. He didn't know what to do with the news. And it literally knocked him out, you know, and made him faint, you know, as a result of hearing these words. Right, right. So you might believe them, but you're not sure how to wrap your head around that kind of information. So if you look at the Targum Onkelos, you have to figure out where the Targum Onkelos fits in with this machlokes between the Rashi and the Ramban. The Targum Onkelos writes, "Vahavu milaya feigon al libe." The words that were said to Yaakov, they were flying away. You know, again, they were dissipating on his heart. Ari Elohim in Lahom, because he didn't believe the things that were told him. Right? It sounds like the Targum Onkelos is saying closer to Rashi that the words didn't stick on his heart. You know, that they left his heart, meaning in the sense that not that it knocked him out, the way the Ramban is describing, but he simply couldn't believe at all the words that were being said to him until, again, a pasuk later, you know, finally the brothers are able to convince Yaakov based on, you know, the information that's provided in the next pasuk. But it seems like also he's saying, like Rashi, that he simply couldn't, you know, he was reluctant to believe. The words wouldn't stick on his heart in that kind of sense. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, let's call it Baruch Hu L'Zayin.